Good morning. Am I on? Yeah. Thank you for being here with us this morning. We're super excited to have you here. We've got a large number of announcements to get through today. So if you will bear with us for a second. Before we jump too deep into the announcements, Simon and Mandy's crew is going to come up and they're going to share with us this morning. This is where you guys start walking towards the front. Yeah. Huh? And Cindy's crew, sorry. Well, Grayson, you can't sneak in on my backside like that. I mean, you make me nervous. You talking first?
No, I don't think so.
It's on, so. Cookie, can I sit beside you? What's up, big dog? That's what I'm talking about. Where's the microphone at, Grace? Okay.
We want to thank you for buying t-shirts to help us raise money for shoe boxes. Friday night, we took 20 kids to shop.
We packed 28 boxes.
Then we went out to eat. It was a great time of fellowship.
We sold enough shirts to make $334. We could still use more to pay for shipping.
See Mandy or Simon if you would like to buy a shirt or make a donation.
Stay down up there. All right. Very cool. We actually have a picture for the screen as well. We want to say thanks to everyone who went out and allowed, there was 20 kids, and you see the adults there. Big thanks to the adults. And in regards to the adults, what I would like to thank them for is that they completely gave up their Friday nights with their family to go and take those 20 kids to go and serve the Lord, right? And so, huge thanks for that. We're very appreciative. Mark, you're very close this morning, right front row, right? We're very appreciative of that. And the point they're trying to make is they were able to purchase so many things, they could use a little bit more for shipping, right? And so, if you wanted to buy a shirt, these cool shirts that they designed, if you missed the opportunity to buy a shirt, the opportunity has been opened back up to buy another shirt or buy one that you didn't get one the first time, right? So that opportunity presents itself. All right. Also, speaking of service and opportunities, the Sunday morning van ministry has been an overwhelming success. It's gone great. We've seen people's hearts being called to a ministry effort and people jumping in and serving, and we've had lots of success with it. It's been so successful, we're expanding it to Wednesday night as well, so they can come and do play practice and do some other things. So, long story short, there is a sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway for anyone willing and able to do a Wednesday van ministry, if you're able to drive the bus on Wednesday, right? So that's out there. Pray about that. See what you think. Meeting the needs, if you're able to serve there, that's this Tuesday, November 9th. That's from 9 to noon. Let's see here. The other thing that I want to talk about is the Christmas play practice. That's happening on Wednesday. Here's something that's important to remember about that. Let's say, for example, you've been super busy and you haven't been able to get your young person here to play practice. That's okay. You can still bring them. They can come to, hey, there you go. We don't want to say that. They may not come to the last, no. I'm just joking. The opportunity still exists for you to come and bring your young person and them to be part of the Christmas play. And we would love to have them gather with us and do that. Now, as you can see, we're continuing in the shoebox season. That's been going on. I believe we have a video this morning for shoebox. We're going to watch this video. In our shoebox mission season. That season is rapidly drawing to an end. All the boxes are asked to be returned by November 17th, back there in the back room on the pew that sits back there. So we're praying that you guys are packing these shoeboxes, that you're praying over these shoeboxes. And something that I really want to emphasize here, and I just want to make it clear to everyone, maybe this is your first time hearing about a shoebox, maybe this is your millionth time hearing about a shoebox. The purpose of this shoebox is not just to give a child a gift. That's important and that's good. The most important thing these shoeboxes do is they give these children the gospel. The people that present these shoeboxes, they have presentations where the gospel is shared. And in that gospel preparation, they're taught about love. And then while they're taught about the love of God, the love of Christ, then they're also shown the love of us when they receive a gift, right? And so it's very important to understand the gospel is the most important thing about these shoeboxes. And I know Peggy's been working super hard. She's here. I'm pretty sure she's here more than I am right now. I see her every time I'm here, she's down there working on those shoeboxes. So pray about that. Pray about that ministry. Pray for Peggy. Pray for Joyce. And let's see what God will do with that. Something else that we celebrate next week is we celebrate Veterans Day. One of the many ways that we've been blessed at our church, this is just one of the many, is that Raphael is actually a veteran himself. So Raphael is going to come up here and share a few things for our veterans. So Raphael.
Good morning. As Pastor Michael said, here in the next coming days, November 11th, which if I'm not mistaken is Friday, we as a country, as a nation, have the opportunity, the blessing, to be able to recognize those men and women who are still among us that have served in our armed forces. Those men and women who have placed their lives on the line to be able to protect the wonderful freedoms and the wonderful blessings we have of this country. And as a fellow American, as a fellow brother and sister, it's always a blessing to be able to recognize the fact that we live in a country like this one, where we have the freedom to assemble us on a Sunday morning, the freedom to be able to walk the streets with liberty. No matter where we come from, no matter what language we speak, the fact that the Lord has brought us into this great nation is what makes this nation great. And that's something that we have to thank the Lord for. And as we see in the Bible, the way that the Lord has used men and women to be able to show justice and mercy has been through armed forces, through the military, through the sacrifice that men and women have given throughout the years. And this is what we celebrate this coming week. We celebrate those men and women who are still among us that have given that sacrifice. Not to be confused with Memorial Day. Memorial Day, we will celebrate those who are no longer with us. But this coming Friday is for all those men and women who have done that, who have served, and who are still with us. So as a token of our gratitude, I would like to ask, if you are a veteran, I would like you to stand. And also, if you're a family member of a son or a daughter who's currently in the armed forces, I would like you to stand as well. So if you are a veteran or a family of a current armed force member, I would like you to stand so that we may honor you this morning. I want to read a verse in John 15:13, and it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for their friends." And I think that verse exemplifies not only the love we have as brothers and sisters, but it exemplifies the gospel in and of itself. Because Christ laid down his life for us. And that is something that those people who have taken this decision, who have made the sacrifice, also show. And that is a beauty that we can see as being created in the image of Christ. So as a token of our gratitude, I would like for those who just stood, please stand again and get your workout in today. All right, so that we as a church can pray for you, so that we may ask the Lord that even as you served your country before, you can still serve the Lord today. Now that your battles are over for this country, your battles as Christians remain. And as just as you defended the great flag of the United States, may you now defend also the banner that is Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come together and honor you. And honor the fact that you are who you are and you fight our battles and that you have chosen us as a people to be able to take the gospel, take the light into this world. Lord, and through that we see your love and we see how you have chosen us to be able to be your soldiers, to be those who fight for the kingdom. Father, and something that exemplifies that love is those men and women, those families who have sacrificed so much to be able to defend this great country. A country that you've given us, Lord, and that you've blessed us with. Let us remember that this country also needs the gospel. And now that we've finished, Lord, finished fighting for this country as soldiers, as Marines, as Navy crewmen, and whoever else, that we can remember that now our battle is for your kingdom. Father, I ask that you bless every man and woman in this place that have given that sacrifice, and every man, woman that is currently giving the sacrifice, that you bless them with your presence and that you bless their families, that they can have that trust in you, even in the doubt, as we saw this morning, even in doubting, may they realize that they're under your protection. Father, we thank you for every man, every woman that has given that sacrifice, and we ask that you bless all the veterans, Lord, in this country, that you may show your presence in them this morning. Father, we thank you for each person here at Dallasburg Baptist Church who's given that sacrifice, and we ask that you bless them greatly and that we can continue fighting for the kingdom of Christ. Father, we bless you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Standing up, don't sit down yet. Larry, we're just trying to get you a workout this morning. Simon, send me B and Sophia, please. We have something for you. A very small token of our appreciation. Sophie, you make sure everybody gets one of those that's standing up. You make sure everybody gets one of those. That's Melissa's clip. I'll try to keep that. So this is something. It's an American flag keychain. It's just something, and we're just so appreciative of your efforts, so appreciative of your family's efforts. And one of the things, you know, just to echo what Brother Raphael said, is that we never want to forget the sacrifice of the men and women that allow us to live in the greatest country that exists in the world. No one will convince me any different of that. And a large part of that is because of the sacrifices of what's been done by these men and women, right? So just so thankful for that. Once you get your things, you can sit down. You don't have to keep standing up. No, Larry, we want you. I'm just joking, Larry. You stay down. Last but not least, that everybody, did you get them all, B? Just hand them back to Melissa. She can be the keepers of them. Thank you. Oh, hold on. We forgot one right here. Sophia didn't forget her. Sophia didn't forget her. And one of the last things that I want to talk about today, and this is one of the, Raphael, you didn't stand up. You got to stand up, man. We'll get you one, Raphael. We'll make sure you get a keychain. Don't you worry. We'll make sure. That was not on purpose. Right, B? Yes, no. And one of the things that we've been pushing hard, and I've been pushing super hard, and one of the goals that I've set for us as a church, and been praying hard about, and it's that I want everyone who's not involved in a Sunday school class to get involved in a Sunday school class, right? And so what we've been doing to try to instill that is we've been going through and we've been discussing different Sunday school classes and finding out who those classes are. And so today I'm going to be presenting a Sunday school class for you because I reached out to the Sunday school class. No one in there was willing to come up. They didn't feel comfortable standing in front of the entire church. So I said, well, I definitely feel comfortable standing in front of the entire church. So I will do it for you because I don't want any class to be skipped. And so today we'll be discussing the Legacy Builders. If you're a member of the Legacy Builders class, would you stand up, please? Don't worry, you're not going to get anything. We're not going to hand you anything. So look around. This is your Legacy Builders Sunday School class, right? This is a class made up of men, so this is a men's class. It's a class that not, you guys can sit back down, thank you. This is a class that they don't necessarily, they decided to opt for this route, and from the feedback that I've received, it's been going really well for them. They don't necessarily have a dedicated teacher, but every man in the class is committed to reading their lesson and being ready to lead it as if they were the teacher. And the class has been going well. I've been back there a couple times, and I've heard some great conversation coming out of the class. This is the class that meets back there by the copiers. If you're curious where that's at, let me know. I'll make sure somebody shows you where that's at. But if you're a man and you're looking for a man's Sunday school class, that is a great class to be involved in. And I would love to see these numbers grow and for everyone to give Sunday school a chance. And like I said that one time, if you go once and it's bad, come back again, right? Everyone has an off day. It happens. So maybe you show up on an off day. That's okay. Come back and give it a shot again, right? You being connected to a Sunday school class will pay massive dividends in your sanctification process if you get plugged into a smaller group of study where you can be more transparent, where you can have some back and forth dialogue. You will grow in Christ if you're involved in that. I promise you that will happen. And we're trying to instill that into everyone, right? I believe that is all of the announcements. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray, and then Kirk and Crystal and Cookie are going to prepare our hearts for worship. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the time that we've had together in our small group studies. Lord, we thank you for the announcement that we heard this morning from our youth, or from our children. We thank you for their servant hearts and what they've been doing. We thank you for those adult leaders that are giving up time to serve these children, but most importantly, serve you. Lord, we're also thankful for our veterans, the men and women that we have in our congregation and across the world that have sacrificed so many things to let us have the freedoms that we have today. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the behavior that they model about serving and sacrificing. And, Lord, we understand that as Christians, as those individuals living in right relationship with you, we are also called to serve and to sacrifice. So, Lord, we thank you for those opportunities. Lord, as we come here for our time of worship, Lord, we pray that we're able to set aside the distractions of the day, of the week, and truly focus upon you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yielded his life in atonement for sin. And opened the floodgates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear. Redemption, the purchase of blood. offender who could believe that moment found Jesus apart and receive. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, crown to the Father, to Jesus the Son. Give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The pure and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Guys, I'm nursing some kind of allergy thing this morning, and that's usually not an issue because you all sing so loud and beautifully. I don't stop singing loud. But you're definitely going to have to cover me today, especially on this next one, which I don't think is a problem. But Chris, kick us off there.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they steal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, forever with the saints to reign. He rose, he rose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He rose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He Christ arose.
Good job, good job. Thank you. Psalm 89, verses 6 through 7. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all who are around him. This is a newer one for some of you guys, but not for our kiddos.
The point of weary, is your burden weighing heavy, and how too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Feel that empty feeling, 'cause shame's done all it's stealing. Are you desperate for some healing? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Who can wipe away the tears, the broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. And all the wrong things that you would go and undo if you could, who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who will care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he could do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Let my Jesus change your life.
I like that last song. You guys like that song? It's a good one.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. Run to the Father, fall in the grace, done with the hiding, the ways and the way. My soul needs a friend, and so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 you saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. Come on. And I don't have context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, fall in the grace, done with the hiding, the reason, the way. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, and so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 my heart has been in your long before my first breath, running into your arms, running to life from death. I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. And I know I need you now. I run to the Father, fall in grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. And so I run to the Father again and again. Run to the Father, fall in the grace, done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend, and so I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh.
Father, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for that truth. Thank you that you wait for us. Thank you that we can run to you. Thank you that you are the surgeon that makes our hearts new. God, I pray that the rest of our day, that the spirit of worship just continues in our life. God, that we're not just worshiping you when we sing these songs, but God, we're worshiping you with our thoughts and our actions and the way we treat one another. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Psalms 89:8. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Lord, thank you for this time of worship that we've been able to have this morning. It sounded so beautiful this morning, Lord, and I'm so thankful for this church family to be able to come together, Lord, and just lift up praises to you. Be with this offering that we're about to receive. I pray that we use it to the ongoing work of your kingdom, Lord. I also lift up Michael as he brings today's message. I just pray for each and every person in here and on the Facebook Live that our hearts and our minds will be open to what you speak through him. Your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, our children will be dismissed to children's church. Always so excited to go. Something that I wanted to thank our musicians, and I also wanted to encourage you all, is just on behalf of my wife, I want to thank you for lowering the grave, right? She's constantly saying, like, that's more than just an Easter song. And I'm like, I agree that's more than just an Easter song, right? So thank you all for doing that this morning on her behalf and our behalf. And also, I would like to encourage the church, pray for our musicians. I know they're insanely gifted and talented, and it looks super easy to get up here and do what they do, but it's not, man. It takes dedication, it takes effort, and what they do is very important for us. Right? So important. Raphael got a solo on the box this morning, right? That's an impressive thing, man, that you got that. But pray for them. Just so thankful for what they do. So thankful for their efforts and everything. If you've been with us lately, or if this maybe is your first time here, we've been doing a slowly but surely a walk through Joshua. We find ourselves in Joshua today, chapter 8. What we're going to be talking about today, and you see the title of today's message, is like, how do we handle life after a defeat? So there's a lot of things in here that I can be certain of, you know, just because you're human beings, and so am I, or most of you. No, I'm just joking. Well, you're human beings, right? Is that you've suffered defeat at some point. At some point, you've had a defeat, whether it be an athletic event or whether it be something you were trying to accomplish, maybe it was a project you were giving at work, you have suffered a defeat. Now, what's important for us to understand, and what I think one of the main points of Joshua 8, is God is teaching us something through our defeats, right? And so I went down a little bit of the rabbit hole this week, which I'm so thankful and blessed that you guys allow me to go down rabbit holes, and that's an amazing thing, is that so much effort and work goes in to try to figure out what makes someone successful. I mean, millions upon millions of dollars in research funds are used to try to make or try to figure out why Jamie is successful and maybe Raphael isn't, and what makes those different. You know, and so one of the things we're going to see today is like we don't need to spend millions and millions of those dollars because we have God's Word. God's Word already shows and tells us how do we handle defeats and how do we become victorious, right? And so the Cliff Notes answer is this. It's how we learn from our defeats, right? When you have a defeat, when something doesn't go well in life, you really have one of two options. Number one, continue to repeat the same thing, right? And that's one of the things that I would probably fall into that category a lot myself. I believe in hard work. I believe in effort, right? I think those are very biblical things. But if you continue in your hard work and effort but never change your mode of operation, you're going to get the same results time and time and time again, right? And so what we'll learn here in Joshua, and it just, which won't be today because we're going to stretch Joshua 8 out for probably several weeks. What we're going to learn here today is that we have to understand when we suffer defeat in a godly manner, how do we respond, right? I'll give you a real world example. We're in Kentucky. We're a basketball state. It's just the way it is. You know, fun fact, I grew up like half of my life in Georgia. I had never touched a basketball until I came to Kentucky. Right? It's just a crazy thing. And you come to Kentucky and they're like, what's football? Right? And like, I've never touched a basketball. And so I never was any good at basketball, but I know what it is now. So 5'11 sophomore from North Carolina tries out for his basketball team. He's horrible. He's just a horrible player. Doesn't make the team. They tell him he's too short. He's an inch shorter than me, right? Can't make the basketball team. You probably know the story. This individual goes on to be Michael Jordan. Right, Michael Jordan goes on to be, depending on how you feel, this is my personal opinion, the greatest basketball player that's ever played the sport to date, right? Ooh, we got an amen on that. Wow. Mark that up. That might be a first. Yeah. So he's thank you, Brad. He goes on, and he's been asked about this a lot. You know, he's been asked. And so he can tell you exactly how many baskets he's missed. He can tell you exactly how many games he's lost. And he's very clear in the point. He goes, what made me a successful basketball player is I learned from my mistakes. I learned when this person was guarding me in this situation. If I do that, that's a brick. If I do this, that's 2 points. Right? If I do that, maybe that's 3 points. He learned from his mistakes. Another example hits really close to home. Colonel Harlan Sanders, the creator of Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? I did some research. His recipe for the 11 herbs and spices, you know the commercial, right? His recipe for fried chicken was rejected over 1,000 times. He tried to sell the recipe to other restaurants that were already selling fried chicken. Every one of them said, that's a hard pass. No, no thanks. You can't make chicken that way. He goes on to create his own franchise. It's the second largest franchise in the world now, second only to McDonald's. And so what he did is he learned from his mistakes how to present this, what to do, how to take it forward. And that's what we'll be looking at today. Something that's super important, this is one of my favorite quotes. I'd always attributed this quote to the wrong person. I did some research, and this is the right person. This is Roy T. Bennett. He just writes essays, basically. And he's quoted as saying this, it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. All that matters is that you get up one more time and you've been knocked down. And so as Christians, we need to have that attitude. We need to understand how do we handle defeats? What do we do? And so that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to read Joshua chapter 8, verse 1, and then we'll take a look at some things here, right? God's word says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this time we've had this morning in small group study. We thank you for the time you've given us this morning in worship, where we've worshiped you with song and praise. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, we're thankful now for this time to where we come and we get to open up your word, to allow your word to wash over us, to teach us, to guide us, to transform us, and most importantly, conform us into your Son's image, right? We're so thankful for this time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the first thing we want to look at here is victory through the encouragement of God, right? And we're really going to sit on this and marinate on this for the majority of this morning. This one exact concept, this one thought, is that the only way you will truly ever experience victory in this life is through God's encouragement, right? We see it right here, right off the bat, right? And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed." And so, one of the things, why does God tell him not to fear? Very practically, because he was fearful. He was afraid. Let's give you a little bit of the context. Maybe you weren't with us last week, or maybe you forgot from last week to this week. That happens. What just happened? They just suffered the Israelites, just suffered a massive defeat at the city of Ai, right? Because of Ashan's sin, right? We discussed that last week. And so 36 men were killed last week. We had a massive defeat for the Israelites. And so Joshua was fearful. He's like, you know, God, you promised me all these things. You said we were going to do this. We just had this miraculous event in Jericho. I don't know if it's that way or that way. I don't know which direction Jericho is. But we just had this massive victory at Jericho, and now we just had this massive, embarrassing defeat, right? And so the reason I say embarrassing is it would have been very important is, like, it's not just now that rumor spread, right? Rumor spread then just like they do now. And so what would have happened is this defeat at Ai would have spread to the other kings and the other nations, right? And so when they saw the Israelites, they wouldn't have been afraid, right? They wouldn't have been like, well, these are the Israelites. We can still fight them and we can win. So it's a big deal that that's happened, right? And so one of the things that we have to understand is that God does not desire for us to live fearful lives, right? And so just as we discussed here in Joshua, I think it's very right and very easy to make a point. We understand why Joshua was fearful here. We do. We understand. He's in charge of this army. He just lost 36 souls. I mean, it's a big deal. I think it's very easy to make the point, too. There's times in our lives that we're fearful, that we can be honest and we can say, I'm afraid in this situation. I'm fearful of what the results might be. I have a cousin who, as kids, he was petrified of the dark. I mean, petrified of it. And finally, I asked him once, I was like, why are you so afraid of the dark? He goes, technically, I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm just afraid of what might be in the dark, right? And so many times, I think that's what we are fearful of. Like, we're just fearful of the unknown. Like, what has God got prepared for us? And Scripture helps with that tremendously. Right. In Scripture, I did a word search, right? In Scripture, the words fear and not compared to or put together appear 327 times in Scripture. So 327 times God or someone inspired by the Holy Spirit writing Scripture for us is clearly telling someone to fear not. And so that begs the question, why would God, right? God is the author of Scripture. God has inspired men to write Scripture for us. That's just a very foundational truth we have to build upon. Why would God dedicate so much ink to this concept of fearful, of not being fearful? It's because we have a problem with it. We as human beings have a problem with being fearful. And one of the things that is super important, and we'll flesh this out, that we see in Scripture, is that's not how God wants us to live, right? This is one of the, I've said this multiple times to us, you know, one of the mega themes, and I think there's more than one mega theme in Joshua, my opinion, is that life as Christians should be a victorious life. We should live as victors, right? Because Christ, what did Christ accomplish for us? He's already conquered. He's already conquered the grave on the cross. He's already, you know, our righteousness is secured in our faith in Christ. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in a second. And so we should not be living fearful lives. So the question is, why do we live fearful lives at times? Why do we do that? Well, I think it comes down to a very simple point, is that it's a faith problem. Right? Sometimes our faith wanes. Sometimes we don't have the faith that we should have. Now, if you've been spending time with us in your Sunday school classes, you've known this second quarter, that's been the main message, is faith. They're calling it confidence, but underlying, they're talking about faith. Every message has been talking about faith, and we're going to look at that a little bit today. One of the things that we're going to look at is I want to make a connection between Joshua 8 and Genesis 15, right? And so if you were in Sunday school this morning, this is going to make even more sense to you, your Sunday school lesson. If you weren't, then hopefully we'll learn from that, right? And so we see the same thing in Genesis chapter 15, right? We see God telling Abram, right? And I was so proud last week. I walked by one of the Sunday school classes and they said Abram and not Abraham. It's really easy to slip up and call him Abraham. He's not Abraham yet, right? He's Abram at this point, right? We see God telling him the same thing in Genesis chapter 15, right? He's telling him, he says, "Fear not, for why? For I am your shield," right? "Your reward shall be very great." Now, I am very confident, because we are hyper blessed in this church to have Sunday school teachers that do an amazing job. And I am very confident they drilled deep into Genesis chapter 15. I shared with my Sunday school class this morning, this is my opinion, right? I'm not saying this is biblical. I'm not saying God said this. I'm saying this as a simple man. I think Genesis chapter 15 is possibly the most important chapter in the Old Testament, right? Because we get some very, very important groundwork laid here, right? One of them being this, is that God is our shield. Why is it important to understand God is our shield? So shields are what? Shields are primarily defensive weapons. We use them to protect ourselves from darts. We use them to protect ourselves from swords. We see here in Scripture God telling Abraham he will be his shield. So what does that mean for us? Us that are living in right relationship with Christ, guess who is our shield? God, right? And so if God is our shield and protecting us from these things, we should not be fearful individuals. We should be fearless individuals as we go out into a dark world and take this light upon the world. Primarily, why can we do that? Because of God's promises. Let's take a look at this. Right, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And so we see this theme time and time and time again in Scripture is do not be afraid. So my style of teaching and leading is this, is I like to establish points. I like to give it, you know, biblical context. And then I like to explain, how do we put this into action? Like, what is the practicality of what we're learning? And so it is super clear God does not want us to be fearful, right? We just see it time and time and time again in Scripture. And so one of the things, how do we put this into action? How do we put this? And you've heard me say this earlier. One of the big problems with being fearful, like the opposite of fearful, is faith, right? As your faith can grow, as you can grow in your faith, as you can grow in your confidence in Lord, it will be easier for you to be fearless. It will be easier for you to not be so afraid of the world, to be afraid of the unknown. You know, one of the things that, and I get this question all the time, what's God's will for my life? What does God want for me? I mean, that's a pretty straightforward answer, right? God doesn't say what he wanted you to wear to church this morning. I'm not really sure God cares. But God, I don't think God is going to tell you what to wear today. But what's very clear to you is that God wants you to live a life inside of his will. How do you know what God's will is? This is, you know, sometimes in life, this is why the concept of grace is difficult for people. Because the concept of grace is so simple. It's so simple, right? You're getting something you don't deserve. This answer is so simple, people are like, well, that can't be the answer. It's too easy. The way you grow in faith, the way that you are able to accomplish the things that Scripture calls us to do, to not be fearful, is that you have to spend more time in God's Word. You have to read more. You have to understand deeper what God's Word is telling you. The practical part of that, right, that is a practical part, but an addition to that is then you have to do what? You have to go out into the world and do it, right? There are no such thing. Now, I can't speak for anyone in here but me. You can probably look at me and say, I was not blessed with a lot of athleticism. Right? It's just the truth, right? Just the truth of the matter. So I spent a lot of time on sports teams sitting on the bench. I used to tell people all the time I played guard. They're like, really? I was like, yeah, guard the water cooler. Nobody could touch it. Nobody could touch it unless I said they could touch it, right? So I didn't spend a lot of time on the field, right? But here's the truth, right? Here's the truth in Scripture. There's no such thing as bench warmers in God's army. There is no such thing. Everyone is called to be doing something. Everyone is being called to go out and to serve. Everyone is being called to show love and kindness to the world. Everyone is being called to know what this says. So when you are encountered by someone and they're like, man, you know what? I would read the Bible, but it's got all these inconsistencies in it. It's got all these inconsistencies. And you just freeze. You're like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that. No one's ever said that to me in church. You're probably not going to hear that in church, right? Side note, the answer to that, show me them. Let's see them. I would love for you to show me the inaccuracies, right? Let's take a look at them. They're not inaccuracies. There are no inaccuracies in Scripture because God's Word is perfect, right? But the reality that I want to make this point to you is that you are called to be in the game. Are you doing something in the game? One of the things that, and this is just something, there's a famous book a couple years ago a guy wrote, something about 10,000 hours. And so the standard for most people now because of this book is that for you to be an expert in something, you have had to dedicate 10,000 hours to it, right? You feel like you've dedicated 10,000 hours to being a farmer, JT? Yeah, so you're an expert in farming, right? And so if you put 10,000 hours into something, you are to be an expert. And I want to ask you this question. How many of you here feel like you've put 10,000 hours into God's Word? 10,000 hours into Sunday school class. 10,000 hours into being around God's people. If you can say yes to that, which a lot of you can, right? A lot of you can probably say, I have put 10,000 hours into God's Word. Do you feel like you're an expert in it? Right? One of the things that it's super clear to me, if you put 10,000 hours into something and you were really bad at it, and you work for someone, you'd get fired. They'd be like, oh, you can't, unless you work for the state. You'd be released. I can say that because I used to work for the state. I can make that joke, right? You know, if you wouldn't, you would be released. If JT put 10,000 hours into his farming and he continually just goes bad every year, he's not going to keep his farm for long, right? The problem is when it comes to Christianity, so many of us have put over 10,000 hours in, but we haven't grown a bit. We're still not feeling confident. We're still not living lives that are fearless. We're still scared to death that someone's going to ask that question. Well, what about the inaccuracies in Scripture? Or we're scared to death for someone to say, well, what does Christmas really mean? And you're like, well, it's the birth of Jesus. And then you're praying, please don't ask anything else. Please don't ask anything else. Right? It shouldn't be that way. If you spent 10,000 hours, you're an expert. You should be growing in these things. You should be able to answer this. And so as you grow in these things, as you become more knowledgeable about God's Word, it helps you to become a victor. It helps you to deal with this fear problem that unfortunately is innate into you because of your sin condition, right? That Satan loves to whisper in your ear, you're not good enough. Satan loves to tell you, you don't know enough. Well, here's the Cliff Notes version. None of us know enough. We're always wanting to grow. We're always going through this process. We love to say the sanctification process. We're all growing. But if you're not growing, that's a problem. That's a real problem. And so that is one of the main things that I see with people struggling with this concept of victory, right? It's because they don't feel like they have the foundation. And the reason they don't have the foundation is what? Because they're not willing to invest in it. Right, one of the favorite things, and I read this one time as a coach, it says, don't be mad at the results you don't get because of the work you didn't put in. Right? Don't be mad about that. Right? Don't be, there ain't nobody to be mad at but you. Right? And so we as Christians, invest into the Word. Invest into what God is teaching us. And as we invest more into that, you will understand that God continues to encourage you in His Word. He continues to strengthen you, to grow you in His Word. I want to spend a little bit of time back in Deuteronomy 31:8. Oh, thank you, Steve. You still have it up. Do not fear or be dismayed. So let's spend a little bit of time talking about the word dismayed. Right, dismayed is probably not a word that a lot of you use daily. I don't know if I've heard it recently, anyone say, you know, Michael, I feel dismayed today. Like, people don't say that, right? I don't hear that a lot. But really, dismayed simply means discouraged. Are you discouraged? And here's a question I want to ask you. And I want you to think about this. This is a question that I don't expect an answer. Is that, are you discouraged in the Lord? Are you discouraged in what the Lord is doing for you? Right? Because if you're living a life of dismay, there's a real problem. You don't understand some very concrete things about Scripture if you're able to be discouraged. Bless you, Brad. One of the things that we have to understand as Christians is how blessed we are. Just the number and the amount of blessings that God, and He doesn't dribble them out like a little stream on us. He dumps them out on us in buckets, right? Because why? He loves us. And in the fact that He loves us, what does He want for us? He wants us to be victorious because of that encouragement. I had said earlier, the concept of grace is both very simple and insanely complicated at the same time, right? I love to talk about grace because I love to feel dumb, right? I love to be humbled and for me not to understand something. It's one thing, I understand, I receive grace, right? God loves me so much He gives me grace. Why does God want to continue to give me that grace when I continue to do bad things? I don't understand that. But I know that's how much He loves me. It's an amazing thing. And something else that I think this is very right and good to talk about this, is that just because you're fearful in a situation, it doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, your faith has came off the rails, or that you're not a Christian, or that, you know, there are times that you are going to fear. It's a human emotion. It's something we suffer from. But once you become a Christian, that should become less and less and less in your life. I don't know if your Sunday school teachers have made this connection to you, but in our Sunday school lessons, we've been going through, and we see the sanctification in Abram, right? We see him growing. It's very clear. He's growing. He's gone from being a liar, right, to not trusting God, to making decisions on his own, to now he's trusting in God even more. Two lessons ago, he let Lot pick the choice land. He's like, I have faith in God. Wherever He sends me, He will provide for me, right? And we see him today. We see his faith grow so much today, right? This is Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Probably, again, in my opinion, maybe the most important verse in the Old Testament. We see that his faith sees him as what? Counts him as righteous. Right? Why is that so important for us to read and to hear about? The reason that is so important is God here is laying the groundwork for what we have received, which is known as imputed righteousness, right? You are not righteous. You're not. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you're not, right? You're sinful. You're born underneath the curse of sin. You inherently, your default position is not to make good decisions, unfortunately. But because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross, and because of your faith in Him, you now can then be seen as righteous when you stand in front of a righteous, holy God. And so we rewind the clock, and that's a long rewind, right? To go from Luke all the way back to Genesis, that's thousands of years. We see the groundwork being laid right here, that faith leads to righteousness. Faith also leads to less fear in your life. And it's super important for us to understand how all of this works together. You know, one of the things that I love to point out to people who are like, well, man, I don't believe the Bible. It's just a bunch of old stuff written. I was like, well, explain to me how it all makes sense. You think a book written by this many different authors, we know it's really one author, but penned by so many different men, right? You think it could all jive together? No way. No way. And so we see this consistency. So as we look back to Genesis and we're at Joshua, we see that God is laying the groundwork that He wants us to be successful and to be victorious in life. Now, a big asterisk you have to put there, and I really debated whether to use the word successful or not. I really debated that. I decided to use it, obviously. You have to measure success by biblical standards, not by worldly standards, right? Worldly standards want to tell you you're successful if you're the guy or gal who dies with the most toys. Like that's how we define success by worldly standards. That is not how God defines success. God defines success in a life lived well for Him. And what does that mean? Like you're like, well, that's fancy talk. What does that mean? That means a life lived in obedience to God's word. That's what that means. And what's going to come with that? It's going to be trials. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be difficult days. But even in the midst of those difficult days, God does not want you to cower in fear. He wants you to understand, even in the midst of those trials, even in the midst of those difficulties, we are still to be conquerors. Why? Fast forward, because God is what? God is our shield. God is our shield. And that's one of the things, when you talk about this, you're like, well, if God's a shield, I feel like he's letting a lot of things through, right? It'd be easy to say that. Why is some things getting through? Why are you suffering trials? Why do bad things happen to good people? This could be an entire sermon series. I'm just going to do a 40,000-foot flyover on this. And it's this. It's because through those trials, your faith has grown stronger. Right? I love the imagery of the precious metal and the crucible. And the way you get rid of the impurities is what? You crank the heat up. And when you think it's hot enough, you turn it up even hotter. And then what do? You go in there and you dredge off. Scripture calls it the dross. We would call it the impurities. You scrape off the impurities. When it cools back down, what are you left with? A pure metal. That's us. Right? That's us. And so as we're living this victorious life through what God encourages us to do, understand trials are going to happen. There are going to be hardships. But never lose sight of the fact that God is your shield. He is protecting you. You're living under his grace. It's an amazing thing that he does this for us, right? I wanted to make another connection here for you. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you should read that, and you should hear that. It should give you so much peace. Basically, what Paul is saying here, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's basically saying nothing can separate you from God's love. And you have to dig deep into that, and you have to understand that. And not only do you have to understand it intellectually, you have to do what? This is the hard part. You have to live it. As you go out in the world, are you living as if you believe Romans 8:38? Are you living your life as you believe that, man, no matter how bad it gets here, I know it's better there? Are you living your life that way? You know, one of the things, and we talk about practicality, I like to call it where the Bible meets the road, right? Rubber meets the road. Are you doing these things? Are you doing them? If not, it's really concerning. It's really concerning that you are not living a fearless life. You're living in fear. And like I said earlier, God is hyper, hyper clear. That is not what he desires for you in his life. That is not how he wants you to live. That is not how he wants you to interact. And primarily, how are we able to live a victorious life? It's because of our understanding of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, right? And we've talked about that, about how the imputed righteousness now falls upon us because of our faith in Christ. And so as we go out into the world, we are to be conquerors. We are to be victors because Christ overcame the grave. Because Christ overcame the grave, and we then put our faith in him, as then we see in Genesis, as God saw Abram as righteous only because of his faith, not because of his actions, because of his faith and his belief, we too can be seen as righteous to a holy God because of our faith. And this is the reality. We have to put these things into action. Right? We are not to understand faith and put it as a collectible up on a shelf and be like, man, there's my faith. It's right there. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to step out of a comfort zone. I'm not going to sign up to do a ministry. I'm not going to sign up to teach a class. I'm not going to sign up to be a backup. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to share the gospel to my coworker at work because they may think I'm weird and may not invite me to lunch. No, you're to live your faith. You need to put it into action. Right? For no other reason. For no other reason, because what did Christ do? He put it into action. Right? And we are to model him. He is our perfect example. And so if he put it into action, so should we. Now, I can give you some other examples. I can give you the apostles. The apostles put it into action. All but John were what? Martyred for the faith. You don't get martyred for the faith by not living it. Right? People don't attack you for not doing it. You know, one of the things that I read this once, and it was very convicting to me, and so I made a note, I wanted to mention it today, is that if you don't feel like you're being attacked by Satan, like if you don't feel like you're ever surfing a trial, or you can't remember when your last trial was, I got some bad news for you. You're not living your faith. You're hiding it. You're not hiding. You know why Satan's not attacking you? He doesn't need to. Doesn't need to attack you, right? That's one of the things that I'm very clear, and I've been called everything, probably the nicest thing, Mark, was a buzzkill, right? When someone comes forward and they become a Christian and they become baptized, which is good and right, I'm usually the first guy to say, get ready. It is coming. And everybody's like, come on, man, let them be happy for today, right? And I'm like, okay, I'll give them a week, right? But now, guess what? Now they're on the radar. Before, they were already living in a dark world. There was no need for Satan to invest or spend any time on them because they were already lost. But now, guess what? Now they're on the radar. And now that they're on the radar, what's going to happen? Attacks are going to come. Trials are already going to come. But attacks are going to happen in their lives. They need to be prepared and understand that. And the way we're able to do that is through God's word and through all the encouragement he gives us, right? I'm not going to make the second point. We'll do the second point next week, right? I've been asked not to rush. I'm not going to rush that, right? We'll get to the second point next week. But what I want to leave you with here today, right, it's so clear, right, man? I'm no theologian. I am no theologian by any stretch of any definition. But, man, I've spent enough time in God's word. It is very, very clear how God wants us to live our lives. Not fearful, but fearless. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for today. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for how much you love us. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we see in Scripture time and time and time again, we're not to be fearful. We're not to be warriors. We are to be conquerors. We are to be living a life in victory, not because of what we can accomplish. Thank God for that. But in what you can accomplish. Lord, we're thankful that we have the faith and the strength to step out of comfort zones. Lord, we're thankful for the strength that you give us to endure trials. Lord, we're just thankful, most importantly, for the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just pray that we understand that this isn't something special that we put on a shelf and never use. No, we put this in action every day. Here and about, well, as soon as we finish business meeting, we're headed out into the mission field again. And what I pray for us is as we hit the mission field, Lord, that we're fearless. We're not afraid to have gospel conversations. We're not afraid to lovingly speak truth into people's lives. We're not afraid to hold brothers and sisters accountable. We desire that for one another. Lord, if we can live lives and attitudes that way, the church will change. The church will look different. It'll look more like the church we see in Acts. And Lord, that's what we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Cause earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal.
Sing that again.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table. Come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary. Rest that endures. Cause earth has no sorrow that heaven can't grow. Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. Who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. There's joy for the morning. Oh, sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are. Come as you are.
Thank you, Kirk, and Raphael, and Crystal. Thank you so much. I'll close this here in a second. But just as I always like to say this, is today is our business meeting. If you are a member, I highly encourage you to stay for business meeting. Because if you're not here and we vote on something and then you're complaining about it a week from now, that ain't nobody's fault but yours for leaving, right? So stay for business meeting. If you are not a member, please feel free to leave. If you would like to stay and see how a godly business meeting is conducted, I encourage you to stay because I think we do a really good job at it here at Dallasburg Baptist Church, right? So that's up to you. We'll give you about 5 minutes to meet and greet everybody and tell them how good it is to see them, and then we'll launch into our business meeting, right? Joshua, will you close us in prayer, please? Thank you.